Checkity check check. 1, 2. 2. Checkity checkity check check. Ah, checky check check. Alright, we're just gonna roll with it. Whoa, yes. Let's get the fucking the mic control here would be useful. Good morning, children. Well, it's not morning. It's afternoon. Hell, it's almost evening. What's the difference between afternoon and evening? I don't even know.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Yeah, I know I'm supposed to be shouting right now. Just give me a minute.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
I'm sure there'll be some shouting a little bit later on, just not yet. Headache. No, that doesn't mean I don't want sex. It just means that. Okay. If you guys could keep it down, please. No, I'm not hungover. What's going on? I'm in a weird mood today. Today is the very last day of the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer 2019. Here it is, 2020. Starts tomorrow. Thought by now we'd have flying cars and jetpacks and moon bases and space stations and all that other stuff that we don't have, because we gotta spend those resources, providing welfare benefits for single mothers so that they can raise more school shooters. But meanwhile, that's what I'm grateful for today. I am grateful, actually kind of grateful for two things. Not kind of grateful, I am grateful for two things. I guess we could do a double. I'm grateful that my rent is not going up next year. I've already gotten the lease renewal, whatever, information from the people that I'm renting from, which is unusual because all the places I had rented from before in the People's Republic of Fort Collins did that about 2 months before they would expect you to be out. So your lease would end on August 31st, and they would send you your letter in June and say, okay, we got to know by July the 1st if you're going to stay or go. And you would be lucky if you had, you would be fortunate if you had 30 days to decide if you're going to stay or go, and then 2 months to get moved out. And these people, I mean, my lease doesn't expire until, what is it? Is it the end of, I don't even remember. But whatever it is, I think I'm on August now. Whatever the hell I'm on, I mean, they've already let me know, hey, if you want to renew your lease, the rent's not going up, let us know, we'll get everything going. So it's like months in advance, 6 months in advance, which is great. It's really nice to know this far ahead of time. So I'm grateful for that. I'm also grateful. Hang on. I'm going to fuck with this microphone after all. I thought I was going to be happy. Yeah, I know what you just said. You said, great one. Did you just say you thought you were going to be happy? Are we talking about the same person here? I thought I was going to be happy with that microphone placement, but I was not. I'm also grateful for the fact that I didn't get sick this year. I think I talked about this before on the podcast. I mean, I know I've complained to you guys. I've told you about how every year when the weather changes, I would get sick. I'd get not really sick, but like allergies. I decided it had to be allergies, right? Because the throat would get dry and shit and the nose would run. But it isn't really like sick and it would last. Oh God, it would drag on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Well, so far this year, and I never had that problem, when I was a kid or for the first 10 years I lived in the People's Republic of Fort Collins or whatever it was. And here, being in the new place, the weather change came and went. We went from fall into winter. Nothing. So perhaps I was allergic to one of the trees that was around the place where I used to live, because there were quite a few trees, which is one of the nice things about it. All the trees in the backyards and my windows are always open because I like fresh air. So I'm grateful that I did not get sick or allergies or whatever the fuck it was with the weather changing this year. I'm very grateful for that. All right. I don't know what's up with my mood today. I thought, because I got up this morning, I got some shit done. I still got a bunch of stuff on the to-do list I got to plow through. But I got the really important, I got the one majorly important project done. I still got a bunch of other important projects to do. And I thought, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go out. I got to run some errands and get some cash, go hit the grocery store, buy some food, because we got a fairly intense work week coming up at Weyland-Yutani, and then we're going out of town. It's coming up in about a week or so. I don't even know what day of the week it is today. I think it's Wednesday. No, it's Tuesday. It's like a week from now, we'll be going out of town for a week up into the mountains to do a gig. So there's a lot of stuff to get ready for. Figured, hey, I should go do some grocery shopping now while I have the time so that I have food, because over the next week, we're going to be working every day. Come home, I want to eat, fucking go to bed, get up, go back to work. Then you have time to fuck around. So, all right, let's go get some groceries. Pick up some beer. Go by Funkworks, my favorite brewery. Pick up some beers. I'm drinking one right now. Just get out. Do some errands. Fresh air, which was good. Sunshine, which was good, because it was no clouds today. I don't know what the temperature got up to. There's still, it snowed here again. There's snow and ice on the ground, but not a lot of it. It's not everywhere. It's burning off, but it's still there in patches. But I mean, for all things considered, it was fairly warm. It was sunny, nice day outside. So that part was good. I thought, let me just get out. I'd get around some people. A little human interaction, just not being in the house, not being at work. Do me good. Man, I got out and I just wasn't feeling it. I didn't even really know how to describe it. I just didn't want to be out among people. I didn't really want to do anything. It's not the people that was a problem. I just didn't feel like doing anything. My feels. I even drove around in circles for about 10 minutes. Debating, did I even want to go to the grocery store or should I just go back home? And like, that's something I never do, is driving around in circles debating if I'm going to go somewhere. Like, once I decide, okay, I'm going to go to the store, I get in the fucking car, you know, if I'm driving, not walking or biking, whatever. But it's like, once I've decided I'm going to X place to do X, I just fucking go there and do it. So I don't know. It's just some really weird mood that has struck me today. So anyhow, I thought I'd do an episode of the podcast because, see, this will either be a really shitty podcast and you'll never hear it because I won't put it on the internet because it's that fucking bad, or it'll break me out of my funk, which would be good because I got shit I need to get done. I also need to eat some food sometime in the near future. I've snacked a little bit here and there, but I need an actual proper meal. I got some dead animal, and I got some raspberries and some blueberries, and some lettuce. Some good, not iceberg lettuce, real lettuce. So that's going to be my din-din. Here lately, I'm also starting to, or rather, that's not the right way to put it, I am attempting to better adhere to the one meal a day plan, although I've just been snacking, so I kind of blew it today. I've also decided that I'm going to try to limit my eating to between the hours of 1100 and 1900, or 11 to 7. See, it rhymes, 11 to 7. So I only eat between 11 and 7. No food between 7 and 11. I'll let you know how that works out. All right, this is boring shit. See, let's move on. Let me complain about some stuff. Let's make this interesting. All right. So I am watching, currently, this movie called Midsummer. Summer spelled with an O. And it's got some people in it that I've never heard of. And it's directed by somebody that I've never heard of. And I got this movie because my mother sent this to me in one of her care packages of assorted stuff. It's 2.5 hours long. I've watched the first 30 minutes. Now, this is supposed to be a horror movie. Let me tell you about the first 30 minutes of this movie. And if you've seen great movies like Raiders of the Lost Ark, Casablanca, Citizen Kane, Alien, Aliens, Blade Runner. God, I really want to sit down and just watch some fucking movies. I haven't seen Blade Runner in so long. I did not watch Alien this year. Alien is my traditional Christmas movie. If you've been around here for a while, you know that. I didn't watch any movies for Christmas. Well, actually, I did watch part of a movie on Christmas. The last movie I watched before I started this one, which took me a week to watch because I don't have time to sit down and watch movies, was a Godzilla movie. It had Godzilla and Ghidorah and Mothra. And if you don't know who Ghidorah and Mothra are, I can't help you because you're a loser. Just kidding. You are a loser. But anyhow, that's one of my pleasures. I love the Godzilla movies. I mean, they're bad, but they're bad in such a unique way. But I'm watching this Godzilla movie, and I'm looking at all the characters, and I was fairly appalled at the complete lack of diversity. All the characters were Japanese. I didn't see anybody in there black. I didn't see any like Mexicans. I'm sorry, what are you this week? Hispanics or Latinx, Latinxes or whatever the fuck you are this week. Sorry, brown people. I can't keep up with it. I didn't see any colored people. I'm sorry, people of color. We got to use our people first language to refer to the cripples, as we learned about in yesterday's episode of Linkage, right? People first language was how you talk about people who are crippled. And if you're a liberal, you do, of course, regard non-white people as being crippled. If you didn't read yesterday's Linkage, well, you should go back and read it because it's one of my better bits, I think. By the way, that was 5 hours of my life writing that and editing it. So, you know, you're welcome. If you read that without paying me, you're stealing and you need to give me money. Okay? Begin cyber begging. cls.link/Amazon. Did you notice all the links in there to my Amazon affiliate? How many people, I don't know, do people see through... Anyway, let's not even go there. Either you get it or you don't get it. Some of you go, my God, he's talking all this shit about people cyberbegging, and then look how much cyberbegging he's doing. But much like Stefan Molyneux, I am serious. If you're listening to this podcast, which I put on the internet, and you're not giving me money, you're stealing. All right, what was I bitching about? Linkage, awesome. Oh, people of color. There were no colored people in this Godzilla movie. I didn't see anybody who was obviously, you know, homosexual or transsexual or non-binary or asexual. Nobody was wearing any kind of rainbow paraphernalia. There was no representation of POCs or the LGBTQ QPKKK pluses for pedophile community. I just couldn't believe how incredibly fucking undiverse and racist these Japanese people are in their movies. And thankfully, American movies are not like that. So this movie, Midsummer, is it Midsummer? Midsummer. I got the DVD package right here in my hand. I put it on the pile of material to remind me to talk about it, because I got shit here to talk about that I'm not going to have time for, because there's way too much of it. We got Satanist, we got marijuana, and we got white knights. Not going to get through all of that. Maybe I'll knock out two episodes. We'll see how it goes. So here's the first 30 minutes of Midsummer. You got this woman. I'm doing this from memory, so give me a second. And you know what I've never talked about yet, and I still got the notes somewhere in the pile, is... Come on, brain. The Westworld TV series. I suffered through season one of that TV series for you, to let you know not to fucking watch it. I'm sure I've forgotten a lot of what my notes mean, but God, I really want to... God, it was so bad. Oh my God, it was bad. If you have not watched Westworld, not the movie is good. The movie with Yul Brynner is good. The Westworld television series, don't do it, guys, don't do it. If you want to watch a good TV series, of course you know, obvious, Babylon 5. But also, if you don't want to watch sci-fi, Spartacus. Oh, man, now that the third year of Spartacus was definitely not as good as the first two. But the first two seasons of Spartacus were fucking amazing. If you were around back then, you remember how much I talked about that show over and over. Oh, my, every fucking episode of this podcast was something about Spartacus. And then the season zero, like the prequel season, that was also really good too. So the third season, the finale season, was definitely the weakest one, though it was still better than your average television. All right, Midsummer. Here's how it starts off. We got this woman, and she is... Okay, let me, and man, the move, that it's taking so long. Like, there's these scenes that, okay, so there's the scene where, let me jump ahead a minute. The girl, the protagonist, the hero, heroine, whatever, the main chick in the movie, her sister commits suicide and also kills her parents by, you know, carbon monoxide poisoning from running automobiles. Okay, very short version. But the thing is, so there's this long scene. So they started off, they show the automobiles running in the garage and the fire department turning them off, right? And hold on. What is this fucking character's name? I gotta have a name for these fucking people. Young American couple. They're not really a couple. It doesn't say the character's name. We're going to call her Helen, because I got to call her something. So Helen's sister kills herself and Helen's parents with carbon monoxide poisoning. So there's this scene, and it shows the cars running in the garage, and the firemen are turning the cars off, right? And I'm like, okay, so like that happened, and because of what happened before this, I totally got it, right? Got it. I understand what happened. So the scene, it keeps going, and it keeps going, and we got to follow the firemen as they walk through the house and go up the stairs, and then they have to go in the parents' bedroom, and then there's the parents, and they're dead, and then they have to be getting them out of bed, and they're zipping them into a body bag, and then they're going down the hallway, and then we find the sister, and then the sister is dead, and then we cut to Helen, and she's crying with her boyfriend, and it's zooming in as they're crying, and she's crying in front of an open window, and it's snowing outside, and they're crying in front of an open window, and it's panning through the open window, and it's showing the sun, and I'm like, my God, guys! Guys, listen, you don't have the talent of a director who can pull this off. Okay? Stanley Kubrick, 2001 Space Odyssey. Long scenes where nothing happens. See, he can get away with that because he has talent. Whoever directed this fucking movie, who directed this fucking movie? It says, from Ari Aster, director of Hereditary. I've never heard of Ari Aster, and I've never heard of Hereditary. Ari, I don't even know what the fuck you identify as, but I'm going to pretend you're a woman, because this movie looks like it was directed by a woman, because it sucks. Sweetheart, you can't fucking direct, okay? You are not Stanley Kubrick. That scene should have been 15 seconds long top. You show me the firemen turning off the cars in the garage. We get it. We don't need all that other shit. Okay. So the movie kicks off. We've got Helen. Helen has a sister. Her sister has some kind of fucking mental illness and still lives with her parents. And her sister has these breakdowns all the time and scares Helen by telling Helen, oh, I'm going to kill myself or whatever, in desperate bids for attention. And then Helen is, of course, on medication for her personality. And then Helen is a pain in the ass to her boyfriend. So then we go to her boyfriend. Her boyfriend is hanging out. So Helen calls her boyfriend. We'll call him Dwayne. Helen calls Dwayne and she's like, oh, what are you doing? Are you coming by? And Dwayne's like, oh, was I supposed to come by? And Helen's like, well, no, but maybe you could. So what are you doing right now? And Dwayne says, well, I'm just chilling with the guys and we just smoked some resin or whatever you do with resin. I don't know what you do with resin because I don't fucking do dope. But if you don't know what resin is, it's some kind of marijuana thing. I don't know what resin is. I don't care. But it's dope. So Helen, she has mental problems. She's on medication. Her sister has mental problems and is on medication. And her sister lives with Helen and her sister's parents. Helen is dating Dwayne. Dwayne is hanging out with the boys doing resin instead of hanging out with his girlfriend. So then we switch to Dwayne. We find out that Dwayne, hanging out with his loser friends who are all college students, who are working on their fucking masters or PhDs or whatever, and they're asking Dwayne, so do you know what your thesis is going to be in yet? And he says, well, I don't know. And I'm thinking, well, what the fuck are you majoring in? Shouldn't that be a fucking clue what your thesis should be about? I mean, if you're going to college and you're getting a fucking advanced degree that requires you to write a fucking thesis, shouldn't you know enough about whatever the fuck you're studying to actually figure out something to do a fucking thesis on? But oh no, probably a liberal arts major. So Dwayne has been wanting to break up with Helen for over a year, but so far hasn't had the balls to do it. Now, he's got plenty of balls to sit around with his friends and do drugs, but he can't fucking just break up with his psycho girlfriend. So then, Helen's sister commits suicide with the carbon monoxide poisoning and kills the mother and the father at the same time. So now Helen's all fucking broken up. So now Dwayne obviously can't leave her. So now then Dwayne and his friends all decide they're going to Sweden because one of Dwayne's friends is Swedish. He's from Sweden. And for his thesis, he's writing about midsummer festivals in Sweden. Now, I don't know what kind of degree you get where you do a thesis about midsummer festivals in Sweden. And don't get me wrong, I think Swedish girls are probably pretty hot and I'd be willing to find out. And I would go, but I'm pretty sure he's not getting a degree in fucking nuclear physics or engineering or accounting or mathematics doing a thesis about midsummer festivals in Sweden. Pretty sure this is a fucking worthless liberal arts degree. And since birds of a feather flock together, I'm sure the rest of the group, because we have, of course, the token black man, we have the Swedish guy, we have the guy who's always looking at all the girls and going, whoa, man, she's hot. And then we've got the beta male Dwayne who won't break up with his girlfriend that he doesn't actually love because he has no testosterone. So it's just these four fucking loser-ass faggots who are all getting liberal arts degrees. So they're all sitting around smoking dope, Okay, first time he appears, he's doing resin. The second time he appears, he's smoking dope. So they're smoking dope. And, oh, no, all right, so first, so Dwayne tells Helen, hey, me and the guys were going to Sweden so that dude can work on his thesis. And she's like, well, what the fuck? Why didn't you tell me? And he's like, well, I mentioned, and soon there's this big scene as they have this debate about, well, can he go to Sweden? Did he tell her he was going to Sweden? And why didn't he tell her? And, oh my God, she's traumatized. I'm not exaggerating. Because he's going to Sweden without her. It's like, oh my God. And you might be wondering, great one, hold on. I am now fully invested in watching this movie because I want to see how bad this gets. Because I'll tell you why. I'll tell you my impression of this so far and why this is so fascinating and interesting to me once I give you the synopsis here. So then we see Dwayne hanging out with his friends smoking dope. And he's like, hey guys, Helen is coming to Sweden with us. And they're all like, huh? How, you know, as you can imagine. And he says, well, but she's not really coming to Sweden. I invited her to Sweden, but she's not going to come. And they're like, well, she said she didn't want to come. He's like, no, she said she does want to come, but she's not really going to come. And they're looking at him and I'm looking at this going, what the fuck are you talking about? And then Dwayne says to them, so she's coming up right now. And by the way, I told her that it was your guys' idea that she should come to Sweden with us. So if you could play along with that, that'd be great. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? So Dwayne says to his friends, my psycho girlfriend that I want to break up with, I invited her to come to Sweden with us. I said you wanted her to come to Sweden with us. That it was your idea. She comes to Sweden with us. She said, yes, she will come to Sweden with us, but she's not really going to come to Sweden with us. Makes total sense, right? I mean, this is the tightest writing you ever saw in your life, isn't it? And not to mention, absolutely fascinating. I mean, you want to talk about some fascinating viewing. I am just captivated by this movie. I mean, I understand. I'm just not doing this justice. You're sitting there right now thinking, my God, this has got to be one of the most fantastic scenes ever recorded in a movie. Like the chestbuster scene in Alien or the Voight Kampff test scene in Alien in Blade Runner, right? Where Harrison Ford figures out that Rachel is a replicant. I mean, but those scenes have nothing on this. This is one of the most beautifully, you know, like any scene in Casablanca, you know. I mean, this has nothing on Casablanca. Casablanca has nothing on this, is what I mean to say. See, I'm so enraptured by the fascinating direction and cinematography and the writing of this movie, I can barely even compose my thoughts. So she comes over and there's these awkward moments where you can tell that none of them have any kind of social skills. So then it cuts and now they're in Sweden. So they're in Sweden and they're driving down the car and the dude bro guy is looking at the girls and going, whoa, man, they're hot. And it's like, okay, they're hot. Are you going to go talk to any of them or are you a pussy? And they're driving and they're heading for the town where the guy's relatives live, where they're going to see the Midsummer Festival. Yeah. And they get there and they stop out of the town because there's a bunch of people hanging out in the field. He's like, oh yeah, these are my friends. And they're all coming back to the village. And we just hang out here for a while. I'm like, okay. So they stop in the field and they get out of the car. And we've got dude, we'll call him Sven. Okay, Sven is saying to the Swedish people, because Sven is the Swedish guy, right, who's come back home. He's saying to the people, hey, these are my friends from America. And then we meet his brother. And then his brother comes over and his brother's friends come over. And like, hey, these are my friends from America. And like, hey, this is my brother. And it's like, hey, this is my brother and his friends. These are my friends here. And okay, so let's go do some mushrooms or whatever it is. It's LSD. But okay, now, bam, they just met. Let's go do drugs. I'm like, oh my God. And so then Helen says, well, I don't know if I'm ready to do drugs. I want to acclimatize a little bit. So then Dwayne says, okay, well, then I'll hold off and I'll do drugs when you're ready to do drugs. And then his dude bro friends are like, okay, dude, if we don't do our drugs at the same time, not making, this is the diet, then we're on different trips. I'm like, oh my God. And so Dwayne says, okay, well then do you guys want to wait for me and Helen so that we can go on the trip together? And his three friends just stand there and look at him like he's a fucking retard. Because he's a fucking retard. That's where I stopped. Okay, we're 30 minutes into this movie. We got two women who have mental illnesses and on our medication, one of whom killed themselves. We've got a soy boy who's majoring in something but can't figure out what to write his thesis on and won't break up with his girlfriend because he's a pussy, and him and all of his friends are doing drugs or about to do drugs in every fucking scene of the movie. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, this movie, you can tell, was directed by a fucking millennial. Because this is a perfect depiction of millennials. The drugs, the pointlessness of their existence, the medication, the mental problems, the drama. I'm not sure if this is a horror movie or if it's a parody of millennials. Because there's not a single character in this movie is likable. I want all of them to die as soon as possible. Right? Once again, you contrast this with a movie like Alien, where you know people are going to die, but you like the characters. I don't like any of these people. They're a bunch of goddamn losers. All of them. They're fucking losers. It's really bad. And no, nothing even remotely horror related has happened yet. Once again, we're 30 minutes into the fucking movie. I'll let you know how it goes. Believe you me. Where are we on time? All right, do I do this or do I try to do that? Fuck. I hate decisions. I had something else I was going to do too. I had a lot of stuff I was going to do. God, I have so much fucking material for this podcast. Now I'm going to save those. Wait, what's this? Oh, that reminds me. Okay, hold on. Books. Shit, I don't have that one. All right, fuck it. Let me talk about this one. I referenced this book a while back. In fact, it was in the Sterile Life podcast. It's by Peter David. It's a Babylon 5 book called Legions of Fire. It's the trilogy about Lando Malari and all the happenings after he becomes the Emperor of Centauri Prime. I finished it. It's an excellent book. I highly recommend it. I found, though, here's one of the things I've always liked about Babylon 5, is that J. Michael Straczynski was not afraid to kill people off. And, you know, not afraid to make tough decisions and have his character suffer and not have things go the easy route. This is a really good book. There's going to be some spoilers here. But right near the end, I think there's two places in this book where it really breaks down. And not the book as a whole, but individual bits. So I got to summarize a whole lot here in a very short amount of time because I don't want to go on and on and on about this. On Centauri Prime, the government is being manipulated by aliens. Kind of like some people believe that the government of the United States is being manipulated by alien lizard people and the Jews who have a base underneath Denver International Airport, which is a real conspiracy theory that people actually believe and they've actually made documentaries about, not making this up. If you just Google lizard people DIA, I'm sure you can get started going down that fucking wormhole. And it's kind of weird. In this book, the aliens who are manipulating the government of Centauri Prime don't live underneath an airport. They live in a tower in the capital city. So the Centauri government built this tower, and the top third of the tower was determined to be off limits because it was said, oh, there's nothing up there. It's for future expansion. Nobody can go up there. But that top third of the tower is actually where the aliens are at. Okay, so the resistance movement blows up the tower. And when they blow up the tower, there's a bunch of aliens in the top. And so alien bodies are scattered about when the tower blows up. And the people of Centauri see the alien bodies. And they all go, oh my God, we've been manipulated by aliens. You know, and it just resolves itself out. And I read that and I'm like, okay, hold on, man. This is not remotely realistic. Because granted, okay, first of all, let's establish that this is in the future and there's aliens and the aliens all know there's other aliens, right? So it's like right now trying to convince somebody that there's aliens is difficult because we have no evidence of an alien species coming to Earth, okay? So, but in this universe, you know, aliens from another planet, it's like trying to convince somebody from the United States that there's people from other countries. We know that. People from other countries come here all the time. So like the equivalency would be, you know, if the White House was blown up and a bunch of French people, you know, landed all over the ground or something. Oh my God, look, there's French people. But the thing is, no matter what planet you're from and what species you are people. And here's something I think this is probably universal, like stupidity. I think this is probably universal throughout the cosmos, which is kind of the definition of universal. And if we found another alien species, this would continue to be true. In addition to stupidity, there is also going to be a willingness to believe lies because people are lazy. Maybe that's just a subset of the stupidity. So the tower is blown up. The pieces fall down. Alien bodies fall out of the tower. The Centauri people see the aliens and go, oh my God, the aliens have been controlling us. They've been manipulating our government. The part of that that's just so unrealistic to me is the part where these people who for years and 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 years in their entire lives have had no suspicion that their government was being manipulated by aliens and that the government was out to, who have believed, oh, my government is looking out for me and my government is good, that they just see some alien bodies and they just, bing, see the light, okay? Like, sort of, here's the equivalency, because when I read this, here's what I thought. Okay, this is like saying that, let's say that in the United States of America, let's say you had a building and the building was standing there and then there are some other buildings next to it And those buildings got hit by airplanes and fell down. But then this other building that didn't get hit by an airplane, this building just suddenly just fell down. I mean, just out of nowhere, just fell down. And people would look at that and go, oh my God, that building just fell down all by itself. Why, there must be something going on here, because buildings don't just fall down by themselves. But you see, no one did that. There are how many people saw a building fall down for no reason and yet believe that building fell down for a reason? Or let's say that you had a building and then supposedly, so an airplane flew into the building and took a giant chunk out of it. And let's say this building was one of the most guarded and watched buildings on the planet Earth. There's cameras and all this stuff, and an airplane flew into the building, and yet there's not a single picture of an airplane flying into the building. And when the airplane hit the building, the airplane just vaporized. There's not a single piece of airplane wreckage left. The building is still there, but the entire airplane, down to the fucking tiniest piece, just poof, vanished into thin air. You would think people would look at that and go, hey, look, an airplane didn't really fly into that building. But no, perfectly intelligent, rational people believe up and down that an airplane flew into that building, even though there's not a single piece of airplane to be found, not a single picture. My point is, people, you can show people. But let's say you had a planet where people believed that they were going to die from global warming. And let's say that they had been told that by the 1970, they'd all be dead because of climate change. And then they were told that by 1980, they'd be dead because of climate change. And then they were told that by 1990, they'd be dead because of climate change. Maybe even they were told that by the year 2000, they'd be dead because of climate change. They could have been told that by the year 2014, the ice caps on their planets would have melted. They could make it all the way to the year 2020, the ice caps would still be there, and not one person would figure out that they were lied to about the ice caps melting by 2014. Not one. Because people are stupid, and people desperately want to believe lies. And so the idea that blowing up this tower and some dead alien bodies falling on the ground would suddenly convince all the people on the planet that the aliens really were manipulating their government. I mean, it's just laughable. Because if they would sit there, they would make up reasons. Well, there's no dead aliens in front of me. Like, no, there's a dead body. Oh, that's fake. You know, they'd be sitting there going, well, the Centauri supremacists are faking this to manipulate me. My government told me that it's not being manipulated by aliens. Right? I mean, let's say you had a planet and there's this building with a bunch of people in it, and they're kind of religious fanatics and a little antisocial sometimes. But let's say that that building caught on fire, and everybody in it, or almost everybody in it, died. And the government said, well, they set the building on fire themselves. Now, this is even though all over the television, let's say there's pictures of the government shooting bullets into the building and then driving tanks through the building. But then the same government that drove a tank through the building sits there and says, oh, well, they set themselves on fire. I mean, how? Of course everyone's going to believe they set themselves on fire. The government said so. I mean, just because you saw the government drive a tank through the building, that couldn't possibly start a fire. People are fucking dumb. And I truly believe that to be universal. Stupid people will believe whatever the government tells them. Of course that building fell down. I mean, of course it fell down because of 9/11. Well, airplane didn't hit it. What, 9/11, do you hate freedom? Well, of course the Pentagon was hit by an airplane. See, there's a big hole in it. Okay, but how do you not have any pictures of this happening? Well, do you hate America? You know, of course the Davidians set themselves on fire. I mean, you can drive tanks through houses all the time, but never sets anything on fire. Especially if the people inside are using kerosene lamps to see because you've turned off their electricity. And they might have a fire burning in a controlled way to keep warm because you've turned off their electricity. And you know, all those bullets you shot there couldn't start a fire. I mean, people are fucking dumb. Global warming. I mean, my God, look how many people still believe in global warming. How many times do you have to show them the ice caps haven't melted? It doesn't matter because they still believe the ice caps are going to melt. So just that bit right there, I had to roll my eyes. I was a little disappointed. The other part that disappointed me, and I think the author did this for the happy ending. Two of the main characters have a son, and the son got attached to him a watcher, which is this little parasitical being that hops on your shoulder, and it sinks its tendrils into you, and it takes control of your nervous system. And the watcher can cause you great pain and agony if you don't do what the Drac wants you to do. And we find out in the course of the book that the watcher can't be removed without killing the host. And if you try to take it off, it'll either kill the host or it'll just grow back because its tendrils are all through the body of the host and entwined with the host's nervous system. Okay, that's great so far. So we're told the only way to get rid of the watcher is to kill the Drac that spawned it. You know, kind of like you get rid of all the vampires by killing the vampire that made them. So now I'm kind of like, well, that's plausible, but that seems a little convenient. So then the Drac that spawned the watcher that's on the character in question does get killed. And so the watcher on the character's name is David. The watcher on David, you know, does its little convulsions and then just pops right off. And David's totally okay. And I'm like, ah, oh, that was even more disappointing to me. I understand I'm asking for realism from science fiction, so maybe I'm the crazy one. Seems to me a much better, much more realistic, a much more consistent outcome would have been if you kill the Drac that spawned the Watcher would also die. But the idea that the Watcher, which is embedded into its host's body and intertwined with its nervous system, would just, you know, conveniently just dislodge itself and fall off and leave the host perfectly alive and well, seems to me biologically unrealistic. It seems to me the Watcher, okay, I could see that the Watcher would die, but why would it detach itself? It would just die, and in the process, because the Watcher can manipulate the host's nervous system, cause the host pain and suffering and all this other stuff, probably do that to the host in the process, and then eventually die. And because all of its little tendrils are interwrapped with the nervous system of the host, when the Watcher dies, it starts to rot. It would probably release, you know, toxins and decay and rot and all this shit into the body of the host and slowly poison the host and kill the host over time in a very miserable and unhappy death. And so when we got this fucking happy ending where, oh, the Watcher just falls off and David's A-okay, I'm like, oh, so disappointing. So disappointing. See, my ending would have been much better. David should have died in misery. from being poisoned inside from these decaying tendrils of the Watcher. After David went through, you know, massive spasms of pain, probably for hours, maybe even days, as the Watcher died. Because the Watcher on Londo Mollari put him through some shit, like just racked him so bad that Londo was like pissing and shitting and vomiting on himself. And, you know, so it's like, okay, so now if the Watcher's actually dying, imagine what sort of death throes it would go through. And it would pass that on to the host. Other than that, great book. I mean, even, you know, you should still read this book. You should watch Babylon 5. I have waxed on eloquently and long-windedly about Babylon 5 in the past. I'm sure I'll do it again in the present. I mean, the future. This is the present. I don't know what I'm doing in the present. I'm feeling better. See, the podcasting helped. I'm a little bit out of whatever weird fucking funk I was in. Whatever the hell that was, I've mostly gotten out of it, I think. Now I'm considering food. What the fuck time is it? I can't read the fucking clock because I'm at a weird angle. 5:30. Let's see. Food. Ah, see? Yeah. So I should eat soon so I can maintain my not eating after 1900 hours. And the to-do list. Fuck the to-do list. And I gotta start packing soon for the next fucking road trip. I spend a bunch of money buying shit that I need for travel. Because like things like phone charger, right? Your charging cable and your USB charger and shit. I'd always grab my stuff from here and pack it up. And I'm tired of chasing shit down. So I've started a whole like just collection of everything I need to travel, like phone chargers and cables and shaving gear and all this shit. I'm putting all this shit together so it can stay in the suitcase so I don't have to fucking pack that stuff every time we're going to go on the road. I think it's going to make my life better. We'll find out. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Who fucking knows? Anyhow, that's it for this episode. Got that out of the way. I'm glad I talked about the Babylon 5 book. And more shit coming up. See you next episode, bitches.